everybody. This is Bill Knauer, and you're listening to Author, where we talk about writing in life, because what it takes to write the book you want to write is also what it takes to lead the life you want to lead. It's true. Author to Author is brought to you by Author Magazine, premier free writing magazine on the internet, featuring articles on writing and the writing life, as well as video interviews with best-selling and award-winning authors across the genres. You can find Author Magazine at authormagazine.org, and we are funded by the good people at the Pacific Northwest Writers Association, supporting writers from pen to publication since 1955. To learn more about the PNWA and their fabulous yearly writers' conference, go to pnwa.org. Yeah, well, got to talk to John Michael Cummings. I had him on the show for a novel, I think his third novel, which came out a few years ago. Had him back on for a short story collection. What a sweet guy. Had a great conversation just about endings and beginnings of stories and inspiration and just what it takes to write stories and be interested in them and great conversation. I just love talking about this stuff with just about anybody. He was a lot of fun. If you're not familiar, he's the author of three novels, two novellas, and more than 100 short stories. His debut novel, The Night I Freed John Brown, won the Patterson Prize for Books for Young People and was selected for Black History Month by USA Today. Ugly to Start With was a finalist for the Forward Indies Book of the Year Award. And Don't Forget Me, Bro was widely excerpted in the Chicago Tribune. His nonfiction has been published by New York Daily News, Orlando Sentinel, Charleston Gazette Mail, the Providence Journal, Richmond Free Press, and the Newark Star-Ledger, and his short stories have appeared in Kenyon Review, North American Review, and the Iowa Review, and his latest short story collection is The Spirit in My Shoes. And yeah, we talked a lot about short fiction, because why not? That's what he's doing. So yeah, great conversation. Glad I get to share it with you. Enjoy. All right, we've got John Michael Cummings back on the show. John, how are you doing?
I'm fine, Bill. Thanks for having me here again.
You have
a great radio personality. You know that.
Well, thank you. it's the man who doesn't mind being the center of attention, I guess, in me who can do that.
Good for you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was saying to my father once, I said, someone's got to be. At some point, someone has to be behind you. Right?
Yeah, right. But we need the life of the party.
Yeah, that's really not me. But John, this is not about me. This is about you. This is about you.
Okay, so I've published another book. It's Congrats. My fifth book in this. Thanks. It's a collection of short stories, 23 short stories, published by University of Wisconsin and Cornerstone Press. It came out technically on November 15th of 2023.
Yes.
And I just recently had the local book launch. So
interesting. It's not a delayed launch.
Well, they had the launch at the university campus at the time.
Nice.
And then I've had my local launch. And I think all the authors have done that, you know, in their areas.
Yeah.
Most of the authors in that group, our group being published this time of the year were from the Midwest.
Yeah.
So I'm the only Eastern author.
Yeah, you're in Virginia, right?
West Virginia.
West Virginia. Oh.
Yeah.
Different West Virginia. Than Virginia. Oh, right. Well, you wrote a book that was it your first novel, which dealt with Harper's Ferry, right? You were sort of dealing with some of the tense racial history of that area, right?
Yeah, I kind of used that whole, that the history is a tool in the story.
Yeah.
In the modern day story, which is the novel.
Yeah.
I use the historical event as a modern day lever, you know, it's just something to make the story work well. And it ended up being a good tool, like a narrative tool to make something happen in the present based on what has been learned. In this case, you know, mistreatment by race. And so that was used as the tool in the book set in modern time. Time. It won an award. It won the Patterson Prize.
I know. Great. What'd you think of that when you won the award? Did it flabbergast you?
No, I expected it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I thought, really? It made me wait another week just to find out.
Well, that's awesome. Okay, so but that was a novel, but you've written a lot of short stories. This is a collection. When you publish a collection of stories, do you just look up and say, "Well, gosh, it's time to publish another collection," or do you see a sort of theme emerging from the stories you're writing? Like, talk to me about that decision. How does that work?
Yeah, I'm still working on a big novel, and in the meantime, starting about last year, I sent a submission to the publisher of Cornerstone, and just by chance, he liked the fact that I had so many uncollected stories, and he wanted a bunch of them,
All right.
and we just kind of threw in a, and so he gave me up to 200 pages, and then it came to about 23 stories. It was just an opportunity that I tried to make the most of. I
Yeah.
tried to make the most of. But could I ever schedule that? No. I mean,
What did you did you know the publisher somehow, or did you just like them as a you just knew of them and just picked them out? What made you
no,
choose them?
it's they were one of many, with a short story collection. I was just hoping to get it into a literary, I mean, into a
Yep.
university press.
Right.
And so
That's
that was. That I really like the, the merit of that, and I feel that that academic institution, the longstanding, academic institution, has a lot to do with the press and the publisher
Yeah.
and the history of it and all the books they
Yeah.
have created for as a legacy. So I think I'm part of a good bedrock of literature in the Midwest,
Yeah.
along with
Well,
all their nonfiction titles.
that is a nice, healthy way to look at your publisher.
Thanks.
I appreciate that. But
I was
so, all right.
hoping I could land something here.
Sure. Well, sure. And so you, so, but the, you've written, what is it, three novels? Four, I'm sorry, four,
Four novels
or
and
published
two
four novels. Anyway, sometimes there's more than what is
novella.
published.
Yeah, a novella and a collection of short stories. So this was just really a great opportunity that came by chance. And for me, that's how it has been, in writing, just staying active and making the most of every situation, and just by sheer chance and luck and being available, the chances fall in your favor. We want them to happen more most frequent as possible,
Ah,
but
I have a theory
they
about that, John. I have a theory.
tell me,
I'm going to
tell
share
me.
it with you because so when I write,
Okay.
right, I always say I want what I'm looking for is that spark of inspiration, that little thing I didn't expect, the thing that feels like luck that sort of comes to me. And once I feel that, then I know what the thing's actually about, right? It always feels like a little surprise, like a little gift from the muse. And that's what I'm waiting for. But what I've learned, John, is I have to go in expecting it. I have to be prepared for a bit for it. I have to say that's what's going to happen. I can't manufacture it. I can't make it happen, but that's what I'm waiting for. And the more I train myself, the more it happens. And so maybe, John, since you have benefited from what you call luck, which I think is something much bigger than that, but you call it luck, maybe if you start
It's
expecting it, it'll happen even more often. What do you think of that? What do you think of my theory?
I'm with you on everything you said. You're basically talking about self-manifestation. You make things happen.
Exactly. Yes.
Yes, you go from the present tense into the future tense using ing all the time,
Right.
present
Right.
progressive, and
Right.
you make things happen by stepping into it as they are unformed. And
Yeah.
you start to build. I mean, it is fabulous. I agree with that.
Good.
With publishers, I feel like I'm guessing a lot, and I don't know. The correspondence has to be fairly, well, just very respectful and
Sure.
polite and patient. So in this case, they're a great group, and I enjoyed working with them. And but I really like what you're saying, and I've been actually been meditating on that,
Oh
and
yeah.
also watching some great motivational speakers
Oh
and
yeah.
talking to people about it. Yeah.
Who do
And
you
I
like?
really
Who do you like in that sphere?
I like Joe Dispenza. I
He's a
like
good
his talk
one.
about
Yeah.
yeah I love his talk about the subatomic, how our atoms are interacting, and that some are low. I mean, I love the low
Yeah.
vibratory level this guy in a grocery store. He's a big weightlifter, and we're talking, and he said, "Yeah, she has a low vibratory level or something." I thought, he's never said anything like that before. And I said, it's working its way into the main culture. Joe Dispenza's finally
Well, you know, it's
has
interesting. I was
gone.
I'm into that community a little bit. I mean, I listened to some of that stuff, and I was listening to AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of all things, once. She was giving a talk on healthcare to some group. And she was, you know, she's, I think, a little forward thinking, but she's a young woman, she's in politics, you know. And she was talking about how everybody should have healthcare, and the belief that everybody shouldn't, she said, that's just lack thinking. And I was like, ah, lack thinking, that's totally from the spiritual community. There's a whole thing around that. And look how it's gotten into AOC's language, even very mainstream.
Wow,
Yeah, I thought
yeah.
that was very
Isn't that
cool.
exciting? Isn't that
It is.
exciting that we are playing with our understanding our own psychology and
Yeah.
negativity using these dynamic adjectives, you know,
Yeah.
these kind of odd constructions that are really catchy, and they dig in fast with this fresh meaning because they're so new, and they catch us, you know, before we can put up that cliche guard.
That's right. That's right. The
You know.
cliché guard. I heard, you know, it's true. As I always say to my students, don't fear the cliché. Just understand it's not useful to you. Like, don't hate it. Don't be afraid of it, but it just doesn't serve you. Like, it won't serve you because people hear it. You know, to our listeners, John and I were getting a little woo-woo, but here's the deal. Here's the deal. If you're writing, it's too late. You're already woo-woo. There's nothing you can do about it. You're sitting there, you're by yourself, and stuff is coming to you. You don't know where it's coming from. That's how it works, right?
Yes,
Yeah.
it is. And you're very exciting, I tell you.
Ah,
That was
yes.
so invigorating.
I get excited. But John, so what is the excitement? So you like short stories. You like short stories. You like that
I
form?
do. Yeah,
Why?
I do.
Why? Tell us about why you love the short story.
Well, I think it's precious in that it can capture with an exquisite style and precision, very precise, a single scene, an
Yep.
exchange of dialogue, a
Yep.
thought, even a movement of light, even a movement of light and expression on a face,
Yeah. Sure.
timed with music, with the sound of a vehicle. All of those things can create an amazing, it's, I guess it's just a, it is a moment. It's like a vignette. It's a special moment, but there is a movement in dialogue or in someone's attitude, or even say in this, you know, like buying a plant. It could be a short interaction or
Sure.
an encounter. You know, those are the kinds of stories I prefer. Have a very close up look at someone's expression or what they have said, and what their siblings or what their house looks like, or those kind of things, when they're really tight and close and vivid and
Right.
pronounced, and in that short amount of time, very impactful.
And do you, when you're, because, you know, so I write short pieces, they're nonfiction, but they're stories from my own life. That's what I'm working on right now. And I, so when I
Okay.
think, so they're kind of like short stories, but they're memoirs. So they're short memoir pieces, right? And so, but they are to the long memoir what the short story is to the novel, I think. But, you know, I look at my life and I think, oh, that moment when I got that letter, that's a story. Or I think, oh, that time I went to Seattle, that's a story. So I have a sort of idea. There's a little conflict. There's a little something that I think, oh, that's worth exploring. So when you're coming, looking for a place to start, where do you like to start? Is it with just an image, a character? Where do you start? Where do you start, John?
Well, I love how you brought that up. I mean, that's exactly the process I use. It's going to be something that draws me back to it, something I really want to express about it, capture, lay bare and turn into a good piece of writing because it's a unique moment. So the very things that you were doing, you know, I share those with you. I guess, what was your second
Well,
question?
it's just kind of like what. Because where, what is the kind of thing that gives you, say, oh, this is a place to start? Is it something you see or just something,
I
a
would get it.
language that comes
Yeah,
to
I would
you?
get it. It's close to the most delicate moment. Get it? I would start as close to that moment in the, and I would start building the scene. You got to think almost of it as a theater. A
Right.
little bit. So
Yeah.
get yourself into what moment that you really want to make Technicolor invisible.
Yeah.
and tactile. And that's going to be the exciting moment. That's going to really lift you up, and you're going to be excited about creating that moment. So that's your heart of the
So it's a
story.
moment. And so,
Yeah, and then you can build back and build forward from
sure.
it.
But it starts with a central moment that you're most interested in.
Yeah, but I also try to keep in mind that I'm going to probably flip it at the end. I'm going to
Right,
probably find the irony. So I got to make sure that I'm lined up in my beliefs and my, the voice I give across as a narrator, that I'm maybe giving an inkling in that direction. That so it's not a it's not it shouldn't startle me so much that I feel ill prepared for the ending. Of course not,
Endings, so I'm evangelical about this, that endings are the most important part of a story. Now, not everybody agrees with me, but I am just I it just that's when I was going through a bunch of stories and looking at the ones I was going to rewrite and include in this collection, always I wrote, yes, if the ending were better. Yes, if I can do the ending better. It's always the endings, always the endings, always the ending. That's how I feel like. That's where I leave my reader. But not everybody
Really
feels that way.
precious.
How do you, what's your thoughts on the endings?
I agree with you. It's a very precious part. It's very important. I feel that my job as a writer is really to entertain the reader,
Yeah.
to engage them and share. But and all of that is done through being really clear with language and being informative and having a measured delivery of information. And being sure that you're changing your words around so that things are fresh and that you're really giving the reader all the details that are needed, and not presuming, because we can hold
That's
these
right. That's
memories,
right.
we can hold a lot in our heads, but what is on paper is
That's
really what
right.
matters.
You know, it's true of memoir, John,
And
because when I'm writing, I have to remember, like, they weren't there. They don't know who my brother was. They don't know what Providence was like in 1985. I know, and I've got to build it out for them. They aren't standing there. They only know what's there, right? And you're seeing the whole thing probably in your head.
I was actually in Providence in 1985.
You get out. You were?
Oh, I was 19, yeah, I think it was 1990, closer to 1990. It was the late 80s.
Yeah, I
I
moved in
lived
1989. I lived there till 1989. So what were you doing in Providence?
well, I actually ran an inn in Newport, Rhode Island. And I was an innkeeper
Oh,
with my
wow.
with a friend,
Yeah.
and I also we lived in Barrington,
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh,
Barrington,
yes.
and also that little town of Bristol,
Yep.
beautiful little Bristol.
Yep.
That
Oh,
was
that's so
charming,
funny. All
really.
right. I have to be careful now because I could now
Yes, I
spend the
know.
rest of this interview just kibitzing about Rhode Island in the 80s. So we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that, but that's very interesting. So the endings, and when I'm working with students who are writing long projects, and this is who have never written a book-length project, I say to them, they don't listen, but I tell them anyway, I say, you don't know what this book is until you have written the first draft to the end. You have to get to the end to know what it is, because then you know. So how often do you write one of your shorts? We're really focusing on short stories, but that's what I'm interested in right now, and that's what you've just published. So that's what we're going to talk about. But how often do you get to the end, go, ooh, that's a sweet, that's it, that's the landing spot, and then go back and say, okay, now I want to make everything really come there? How often do you need to go back and really make it fit to it?
A fair number of times that does happen, and it is important. If there's a scene and narration and description and just exquisite dialogue that lands right as an ending,
Yeah.
feels like it should be positioned as an ending, and the rest should be built toward that effect, that
Yeah.
unified effect that's
Yeah.
waiting.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I did my first novel. When
Oh, yeah.
I first had a chance at Penguin, the editor said, "I like the last 20 pages, rewrite the rest." And she meant it. Because so that's the scene. So that's the very thing. Consider that an enlarged short story. That's the
Wow.
same thing.
That's
So
crazy, John. You know what's great about that? That the editor liked those last 20 pages enough that they're willing to say, go back and
exactly.
basically write a whole book.
Right, because
That's
there was
crazy.
electrifying attention tension in it. That was, as I read it today, that ending had the style of Well, I really favor her writing, if I can recall her name, Ayn Rand, especially Atlas Shrugged. I
Ayn
find her
Rand,
writing,
really? Okay.
I don't mean her
Yeah,
philosophical
no,
lines. I mean
right.
her vivid iron descriptions
Yeah,
that she
right.
lays down that are
Yeah.
incredible. And I don't know that she's been really, I hold her up as really, I mean,
Well, she fell out of
muscular
favor.
writing.
She fell out of favor because of her extreme political views, I think, a little bit.
Which were basically, basically the small guy gets stepped on, and that's
That was
maybe
her. Yeah, well,
that's.
she came from like communist Russia where like everything she had was taken away. And so she developed, I think, some strong ideas about the role of government in
Sure.
people's lives.
Yeah.
But all right, so
That's an
that's it.
interesting question. Yeah.
What did you say?
No, that was a great question you asked about the ending.
I'm fascinated by it because I was talking to Alice Hoffman, the novelist, once, and she had written an end of a book that I thought was just gorgeous, you know. And I was like, "Talk to me about ending, Alice." And she was like, "Yeah, you don't want to feel heavy. It should feel light, you know. It should feel." And I always and what you were describing, the same sort of thing. It has to feel right, but it has to feel light, like it just happened, that you didn't force it in, right? You tied it up yourself, and right.
And sometimes that is the magic of persistent editing.
Oh,
We end up
real.
with
Oh,
those
interesting. Yeah.
phrases. We end up with those phrases that really stand on their own so well.
Yeah.
They have that really good poetic quality that they pitch into the value of the story at that moment.
Yeah.
Just the that mastery really of the writing.
Yeah.
To a degree,
All right. So this book, so we were talking, and so book came out in November, but you're actually going to do your actual local launch because you're in West Virginia l soon, yeah?
Well, we've already had it, but
Had one launch.
I'm hoping to be on West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which
Nice.
will be a nice interview that will be seen widely. And be a good credit, I guess. So
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward. I've already been interviewed, so I'm looking forward to that coming out. And
That's oh
this is
good.
great too, Bill.
Oh, I'm
This is
glad.
great too. But
But I
thank
mean,
you.
in terms of launch, I mean, you in a bookstore with some human beings and chairs, are you going to do that thing for it?
Well, I did. That was kind of the library.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I'm so hard at work on the new book.
Yeah.
And so I want to make sure that energy and momentum continues.
Yeah.
I can't say, but I've done with other books all those bookstore things, and they're wonderful.
You
I
like
mean,
it?
they're just they're fun,
Do you like to
sure.
read your stuff? Do you mind reading stuff aloud? Some people like to read aloud, some people don't.
Sure, I don't mind. I can
Yeah.
read to you. I can read a
Wait, no, you
passage.
don't have no. They don't usually do not here. I'm sorry. No, don't do it. Not now. But I mean when you're live, it's okay. It's okay. I never have the authors read. I don't know why. I just don't. But when you're there, do you like doing it in front of the audience,
Sure,
reading stories? Yeah.
as long as I can see it well enough.
Right.
I
Right.
have to make sure I have the readers, or I
You know what you
paste it
should
in a
do?
magnifier,
You should
put in
print.
like.
I'm all for printing the thing I'm going to read on in a like on 8.5 by, so I can do it however I want, like
I
a
like that.
script,
Perfect.
right?
That's what I'll do.
Then
That's
fit
I
in a
like that
little
too.
book, right?
Yeah, you can
So,
just hold the book as a prop,
yeah, that's right.
This is
So,
a fashion statement.
do you? So you're hard at work on the next book. And do you write short stories sort of in between? You get to the end of a draft or something and then you go work on a story or.
That has happened. In this case, last few months, I've been writing humorous pieces that are nonfiction. And I know, and I finally. I managed to get a few published, one in the Orlando Sentinel, and one in the Charleston Gazette News, and one in the Richmond Free Press. And they are like commentaries and op-eds and story and like but in the style of Shouts and Murmurs,
Sure.
say for
Yeah.
New Yorker.
Do you
Just
like that's a different voice though, because if something like that's gonna be much more you sort of coming forward. So that's gonna be a different voice than the fiction voice, yeah?
I like it.
You do you? It's easier somehow, isn't it, sometimes?
I got a real attitude too.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's really interesting. Go
I
ahead.
have a problem with everything, when I'm writing. There's, I mean, the one I was in this in the Orlando Sentinel, I just sounded like, almost started to sound like that guy who has a problem with everything today. But it was funny. I mean, I was able to make it so self-effacing because that's
Oh,
how I
good.
feel about it, you
Right.
know. And it, if you're, and I really am self-effacing. I just think life is a clumsy, clumsy pre-run at something. So,
Sure.
I mean, you
A
know, so I feel
clumsy,
like,
what did you call it? A clumsy pre-run at something?
yeah,
It's an
isn't that
attempt.
an interesting way,
I like it.
interesting way to put it?
Yeah.
I'm excited. Excited to see you have that book out. I'm
Oh,
really
yeah.
looking forward to getting it.
Oh, good. Everyone has what it
Good for
takes. Oh,
you.
yeah. Love that book. Love that book.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
And that's a great publisher,
Penguin's
Penguin.
great. Yeah, Penguin's great. They were good with it, and yeah. So yeah, enjoy
They
it.
are.
I do love that book, and
It's a
that's a
really promising thing you're offering of getting in the right
oh,
headspace. So important.
that's what I'm all about. I'm all well in terms of writers and writing and creativity. It's all about this sort of spiritual, psychological element of it. I do love the craft. But as we're sort of talking about here, but really it's the psychological, spiritual side of it that intrigues me the most. The well, how we get in our way and how we get out of our way.
I listen to alpha waves and beta waves on videos,
Oh,
and I
okay.
have my headphones,
Yeah, how does
and
that work?
it's just it helps with concentration. It's kind of really nice sounding white noise.
There
It's
you
really
go.
nice, and
Yeah.
it can give you a riveting focus, you know, zzz,
Well, you
like
know what it is, people, what John and I are talking about here is when you write, you know, I always say, you know, I'm in the chair, but I'm not in the chair. My mind, where I am, has to be somewhere that only I can see. So I've got to forget about the world. I got to forget about the world. So however you can get there, you got to get there.
I mean, that's so true, especially with creative writing, you
Oh,
know.
most definitely.
So,
All right. The book. Everyone, the book is The Spirit in My Shoes. If you like short stories, give yourself a treat. Give yourself a treat. Pick up The Spirit in My Shoes. You will not be disappointed. John is a lovely writer, a nice person too, but you'll never get to, you probably won't get to meet him, but you'll get to read his stories. And that is really the point. But John, I'm not quite through with you, my friend. You've done a lot of writing in your life, a lot of it.
I feel like I'm just getting started.
Good, good,
Truly.
good. No, that's why, as well you should, because every story's new. Everyone, you got to learn again. So maybe that's the answer to this question. But what I want you to do is think about all the writing you've done, and if it's taught you anything about being a person, about life, it's taught you what?
Oh, living with joy in your heart,
Ah.
and that will bring in creativity and bring in happiness, and it's really that simple. And you will also make your own happiness.
Ah, man, you are singing my tune. I just recorded my latest Fearless Writing podcast. It won't be up for a couple of weeks, but it's all about how Beethoven wrote the Ode to Joy, even though he couldn't hear and he was sick and he was dying, but he wrote the Ode to Joy because joy is, in fact, the whole point of life. I agree. John, great talking to you, my friend.
Same here, Bill. This is wonderful.
Yeah, it's true. I had just recorded a podcast all about joy and how important it is and how you find your own. It's true. See, synchronicity. I love it. I love it. Hey, I want to thank my producer, RJ Jeffries, and I want to thank all of you for listening. And if you want joy, oh, you got to go do something you love. Love and joy, they're one and the same. Yes, they are. So until next week, go find something you love to do and do it.